Couple songs this evening. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27 is where we're going to start off reading this evening. Raise your hand if you went with us this year on the mission trip to Springdale in March, where we went to Branson. All right. I'm going to let y'all in a little something. Sister Tiffany and I were, you can put your hands down. Sister Tiffany and I were discussing this morning. Every time now that I read anything about Moses, my mind goes right back to that plague we saw. Every single time. We were talking about this morning, and Sister Tiffany and her class talked about Moses this morning. I said, well, we're going to talk about him again this evening. How neat. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. Begin reading in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured and seeing him who is invisible. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Help us to understand the things of it and apply it to our lives and for your church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Continuing on our study of living by faith, we're going to look at Moses' decision this evening. Moses' decision. And the last time we were in the study, we saw where Moses' parents had faith enough to defy Pharaoh and obey God. You remember in that study, we saw where Amram and Jochebed, as some people call her, pretty much Moses' mom and daddy, they already had some children, and then Pharaoh made the commandment to kill all the males that were born into the Hebrew people because they were outgrowing them by leaps and bounds as far as their population were concerned. And they were already slaves as it was. Well, little Moses came along, and they made the decision, you know what, we're going to obey God rather than Pharaoh. Then it came the point in time where he got a little too big to be around the house and realized we can't hide him forever. So we, and by faith, they put him in the the ark and let him float down the river. Miriam went along there close to him, nearby. Pharaoh's daughter went down the river, saw the basket, went up and realized it was a Hebrew child that her daddy was trying to kill. But she said, you know, I'll take him, but I need a nursemaid. And Miriam said, hey, I know one. You know? So Moses went back to his parents' home. And he was there till he was completely weaned. And Moses knew who his parents were. He knew about his raising. But when he got old enough, pretty much, he went back to Pharaoh's daughter. And he was raised the rest of his life in Pharaoh's home. Now, today, we will see where Moses also had to live on faith. Everyone, please turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 25. Exodus 2, begin reading in verse 11. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made of thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priests of Midian had 7 daughters. And they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son and called his name Gershom. For he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. My first point this evening is Moses got in trouble. Moses got in trouble. Now please remember, Moses may have lived in the house of Pharaoh, but he knew his parents and he also knew his heritage. He would have known, he would have plainly known about God and the practices of his people. On top of that, Moses would have been well educated, living as an adopted grandson of Pharaoh. Now, there's lots of things that the Bible doesn't tell us. Some things I just really want to know. Like, did Pharaoh know that Moses was a Hebrew? I think he did. I think he really did. Because how do you explain that? Okay? Because Pharaoh's daughter didn't bring him as an infant. No. He would have been a toddler's age or maybe a little older when he first came into Pharaoh's home. How do you explain a little boy who just pops up in your house one day? Now, some believe, well, Pharaoh didn't have a lot to do with his family. Yeah, that may be the case, but how are you going to explain that child over there that this his daughter is claiming to be hers and going, "I don't remember you having a baby. And how is it that I've missed these many years of his life?" I think he would have known that Moses was a Hebrew. I wonder if there was also some contentment there too. Because he may have been not a God-fearing man, but he was a smart man. Old Pharaoh was. Could have put 2 and 2 together. If he's Hebrew and he's male, shouldn't he have died a few years ago? By my proclamation. But you know what? I know it was all because of God that Moses survived that slaughtering of all those innocent male children. And then that child was there as a reminder to Pharaoh that you can't win when you fight God. You didn't win this one. The God of the Hebrew people that you've enslaved is winning. Well, because he lived in Pharaoh's home, he would have had a great education. He would have learned all the things he had to learn. He would have learned how to read Egyptian. He would have been masterful at speaking different languages. He would have known the arts and the sciences. He would have known all those things. He would have also known the luxuries of living in royalty. Now, he may not have been called a prince, but he was definitely living with the royalty. He wasn't a servant. He wasn't a slave. He knew what it was like to live in the palace. Well, as he got comfortable in that through the years, one day, Moses was out and about. Remember, he knew that his people were slaves. And he sees an Egyptian taskmaster beating up the Hebrew slave. And Moses gets angry. You know, the Bible says you can be angry, just don't sin. You know, be angry and sin not. But Moses acted out of his instincts and his feelings, which can lead you wrong if you're not careful. So Moses looked one way and he looked another. He didn't see any other Egyptians around, and Moses killed that Egyptian for mistreating a Hebrew slave. Y'all, this was very much cold-blooded murder. That's exactly what it was. Why? He knew exactly what he was doing. And he also wanted to make sure that no one else that mattered saw it. Now, what about the Hebrew people? You say, well, all those slaves are around him. And Moses' mind, by him killing that guy, that Egyptian who was hurting them, he'd be a savior to them. You know? I liberated you from that guy who was trying to hurt you. He wanted to make sure no other Egyptian was in. He knew what he was going to do. Now, some of us say, well, I'd have killed the guy too. Well, y'all, it was still murder. And I hope you realize it. It was murder. And then Moses didn't want to get caught. How do we know that? He buried the body where no one could find it. Well, the next time he's out there, he sees two Hebrew men quarreling. In his mind, he's gotten away with it. And even though he's not a slave like his brethren, they ought to know I'm watching out for him. And he goes up and he gets mad. He gets mad at these two Hebrew guys, slaves, fight with each other. He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You two are fighting with one another. I mean, it's bad enough that the Egyptian people are beating you up. Now you're beating up each other. And one of them pops off at him. But you going to kill me like you killed the other guy? Uh-oh. He's got caught. But what he didn't realize already is that God knew about it all along. When we think we've gotten away with it, God already knows. God knows and sees everything. So you're not hiding it from anybody, because God knows. So, well, not everybody else has to know. That was Moses' issue. He said, oh no, these guys know. And they're going to tell it. Well, somehow, word got back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, his mind is like, you know what? This is my opportunity to get rid of that Hebrew boy that's ruined my life. Come in here. Now, I don't know if he thought all this or not. Maybe he thought, you know what? I got to do the right thing and make sure he dies. Why? If he killed a Hebrew slave, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But he killed an Egyptian. That's where it mattered. Moses was in trouble. He was in trouble with God, but he didn't even know it at that point. He knew about God, but he wasn't faithful to God at this point. How do we know that? Because what happens later on in the Scriptures. So, Moses runs away from Pharaoh. He gets out of Egypt. He goes as far as he can to the land of Midian. Now, Moses was obviously a healthy man. Well, he would have been. He'd been well-fed, well-trained within Pharaoh's house. He didn't look like the other Hebrew people. One day, he's there in Midian at this well, and the daughters of Jethro come to the well. Jethro had no sons. All he had was daughters, and these daughters are keeping the flock. And these other menfolk come up, push them out of the way, and Moses pretty much says, no, that's not going to happen. And he spoke up for them and fought for them and allowed them to get the water they're supposed to get. He was being a gentleman, you might say, fighting off the scoundrels. Well, then you have a problem. Moses was running away from his sin, and he was still trying to cover it up. So our next point this evening, and the last one, is Moses was humbled. Moses was humbled. I don't think Moses expected to get anything kindly out of his actions. In his mind, he's on the run. A fugitive, run away from the law. But then, when Jethro's daughters come and tell him, hey, this guy really helped us out today. He fended us off those guys to help us to water our flock. And he said, and you left him there? Bring him back. Hello? Let me thank him for helping my daughters out, for protecting my flocks. Yo, the flocks were everything to them. That was their welfare. That was their livelihood. That was their wealth. And this guy who protected him, a complete stranger, bring him back. All right, Daddy, calm down. We're going to get him. They bring him back, and Jethro was the priest of Midian. Now, he may not have been a Hebrew, but he was a very much a God-fearing man. Very much so. Moses sees something in Jethro that he had never known before. And he decides to stay there with Jethro and sit under his teachings. Moses had heard about God, but he didn't know God. And through Jethro, he begins to pretty much learn the good stuff. He learned all that about the arts and the sciences, and he knew about the astronomy and all that stuff. He knew all those things. But then he learned the good stuff. He learned about God. And Moses sat at Jethro's feet, learning and learning and learning and learning about God. But he had to become humble. He had to give up the riches in Egypt. And he did that. He would have learned that he needed to ask God for forgiveness for murdering that man. And because of his humility, giving up the riches. But y'all, this took faith. This is why when you look at the story of Jesus talking to the rich young ruler, he said, go and sell everything that you own and come and follow me. The Bible says that the rich young ruler went away that day sorrowful. Why? Because he was really rich. He didn't want to do that. lot of people don't want to give up that life of luxury in order to gain eternity. Now, you don't have to be rich and give up your riches, but you do have to be willing to sacrifice your wants for God's wants in order to serve Him. In this case, for Moses, it would mean giving up that life of living high on the hog, as we like to say around here. I mean, he had it made in the palace. Then he messed up. He actually could have gone back, believe it or not, after Pharaoh died, and all been okay. Except this time he found something better. He found God. He found the love of God, and he found the teachings of God in the midst of all that. And I believe that's when Moses got saved. I really believe. And in the middle of all that, he gets married to one of Jethro's daughters, Zipporah. I mean, he would have never thought that possible in his life. And then she bore him a son. Of course, later on, he had another son too. Y'all, this took faith. This took faith. And all these years that Moses is here in Midian, he's a shepherd boy, pretty much. He learns the art of being a shepherd. The lowest form of job in the Middle Eastern culture society. He went from being to living in the palace to living out in the desert in tents and guarding sheep. He went from wearing the finest Egyptian cotton and silk and linen to wearing some sheepskins and some wool. He went from eating everything that was good and delicious that he can have his hands on to eating off the land. He went from not having to lift a finger to working his bones every day. It hurt and the ache. I'm sure they had arthritis back then too, guys. Okay? Yeah. He went from everything to nothing, except he gained a whole lot more. But that took faith. That took faith. Of course, y'all know what's fixing to happen. He's fixing to be called out by God and through that burning bush that didn't burn. God's going to tell him to take off his shoes, for he's on holy ground, get down in his face. Said, Moses, go to Egypt and get my people out. God, I can't do that. Lord, I cannot do that. And you know what? God wouldn't take no for an answer. God never does. For every excuse that Moses came up with, God had a reason to get around that excuse. How can I? They won't believe me. He said, you got a rod? Put it down there. What happened? It became a snake. I'd have ran in fear, y'all. And then he says, pick it up by the tail. That took faith. Let me tell you, that took faith. But he picked it up by the tail. It came a rod again. See, God was helping him with his faith. Lord, they won't believe me because of my speech. He said, go see your brother Aaron. He'll speak for you. All right, God, I'll go. And he goes back into Egypt. He tells Pharaoh the commands of the Lord. He didn't believe it. And then starts coming the plagues. All those plagues. Pharaoh said, fine, let them go. And then he changed his mind. A lot of people, when they read this passage of Scripture, God tells to Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And many people believe that Pharaoh didn't have any choice, that he had to disobey God. I'm here to tell you, that's wrong. Okay? What that means is, I'm going to prove to Pharaoh, because I already know what he's going to do, but I'm going to give him the opportunity, regardless, like out of any other man, to believe in me and be saved. And what happens is when people hear the gospel, they either will be more convicted or they'll be more hardened to it if they're lost. Okay? There's some people that have been so lost for so many years and they know they're lost and their heart is so hardened. It doesn't mean they can't be saved, but they have calloused their heart over to the gospel. Now, y'all, if we're not careful, as saved people who know what the gospel is all about can become callous to the message of the gospel at the same time. We can become so, oh yeah, that's the gospel. Oh yeah, praise God, they got saved. What happened? What happened? You know what happened? It became the gospel. It's not the good news anymore. It's old news to us. And that's a problem. The Word of God and His gospel should be just as new, as fresh to us today as it was when the day we got saved. Really and truly. But old Pharaoh, he kept going back and forth. Yeah, I'll let them go. No, I will not let them go. But Moses was still living by faith in the middle of all that. Y'all, there's some things that God wants us to do that's not so easy. There's some things that God wants us to do that's not so pleasant. But when we look at our examples of faith, like Moses, we need to be obedient to God no matter what. And remember, as we've already studied, God wants our obedience above all things. That's what God wants, is our obedience. And if you live by faith, it'll be easy to do. It may not be easy in the world to do it, but with God, all things are possible. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So my prayer today is that you have been challenged by God's Word to live by faith. And God can take a bad situation in your life and make it good. I don't think it was ever in God's will for him to kill that Egyptian. That contradicts God's Word, for crying out loud. But God took a bad situation and made it good. You ever heard the expression, life gives you lemons, so make lemonade? Okay? If you're in a bad situation, look to God, obey His Word and His Holy Spirit, and let Him shine in the midst of all the chaos and the turmoil. You live by faith. And in the end, God gets the glory. And you already win in the end. I hope that encourages you here this evening. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we prepare for this invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. And we know how to live, and the examples of faith that we have in Your Word. And Lord, I pray that when we're down and when we're disheartened and through the turmoil and discouragement we go through our life, that we'll just remember what You did for us and the price that You paid that no man can pay. Lord, we thank You, even though we did not deserve it, we thank You for that eternal life. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Paul.